Welcome to the series Revelation, The Second Coming, with your host, Father Alfred McBride. This series explains the imagery found in the book of Revelation and brings encouragement to the faithful. Now, join Father McBride as he presents this episode of Revelation, The Second Coming.
In April 1991, I was in Lvov, Ukraine. It was Holy Saturday night, and I was there for the celebration of the Easter Vigil in the Eastern Rite. The ceremony took place in St. Yuri's Cathedral, and it was the first time that Catholics had the right to celebrate the Eucharist and Easter in their own cathedral in over 43 years. We arrived at, it was about 11 o'clock at night, and the church, obviously, given the excitement of the experience, the church was packed. At a quarter to 12, we all proceeded out of the church into the night, and we marched, I guess you would say, marched around the church and sang hymns and could look at the stars and think of both Good Friday and the coming Easter. And when we arrived back at the door of the church, the deacon read the Easter Gospel. And when he came to the words, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is risen. He is not here." Then the Cardinal Lubaczynski, who was the celebrant of that particular celebration, said, "Christos voskres." Christ is risen. And we all responded, "Voistinu voskres." He is risen indeed. And with that, the deacon knocked on the door of the church, and the door opened, and we all went in and celebrated the Mass of the Resurrection of Christ. First time it was done under Catholic auspices in 43 years. It was the first time in my life where I saw an exact correspondence between liturgy and history. Because in liturgy, we were celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and in history, we were celebrating the resurrection of the Ukrainian church, 6 million Catholics who had been in the tomb of persecution and had to live by Christian hope for over 43 years. Now, the reason I'm telling that story is that the Apocalypse, this book of the Bible that we are about to read and study together, the book of Revelation, is about a church in the early history of our experience, the infant church, that was persecuted at the time that St. John was writing. It was being persecuted primarily by the Roman Empire. And it was fearful. It was wondering if there was any future. The people of the church wondered, does God care? Does anybody care? Is anyone there? Does anybody know what we're going through, experiencing? And St. John writes the last book of the Bible as a book of hope. We all know it's a very strange book in many ways, and it puzzles a lot of people, but maybe after this study that you and I are going to do together, you may find it not so puzzling and not so frightening, because the Apocalypse is indeed a book of hope. And though the church and the people in the church were suffering a great deal and had no obvious reason to hope, St. John says, yes, you must hope. Do not fear. Be not afraid. And he told them, keep your eyes on the prize, as we would say. Keep your eyes on the one who sits upon the throne, on the Lamb whom everyone in heaven worships and adores. The Lamb, of course, is the symbol of Jesus Christ, and we will come back often to that picture of the Lamb. So one of the reasons why I told that little story to start off with is to show that it's reasonable to have hope, especially if you have faith in Christ, and that if you are suffering as a church, suffering as a family, or suffering just as you in your own personal life, remember there is always hope. Keep your eyes on the Lamb, on the one who sits upon the throne. We lift our eyes above this heavenly, this earthly experience that we have in order to obtain the hope from God that we need. One little detail that I'd like to add here is that that same year that I was in the Ukraine, that was, say, April 1991, Christmas Day of that same year, you all know that the Red Star, which was on the top of the spire that is over the fort leading into the Kremlin in Moscow, the Red Star and the Soviet flag that had all of that associated with it, the old communist flag, it all came down on Christmas Day, on the day that we celebrate the birth of a Savior. The Savior said he would save, and he did. Although it took a long time for people to experience that salvation, nonetheless, it does come. Now, that's more or less my introduction, just some introductory remarks to the book of Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. I want to say this, that you will find this a much easier book to read, and you'll find my presentations easier to follow if you take your Bible and open it, like right now, to chapter 1 of the book of Revelation and follow along. I also recommend that you might be interested in getting a little commentary to help you with it. So between the Bible and a commentary, plus my presentation, I think you'll find it easier to follow. Now, the commentary I'm going to recommend is one that I did myself, and it's called The Second Coming of Jesus. And it is an explanation of the book of Revelation. And much of what I'm giving you in these presentations will indeed be the based upon my own reflections here. That's put out by our Sunday visitor, and at the end of the program you'll see an 800 number you can call or an address you can use to obtain the book, or you can go to your local Catholic bookshop. Now, the book of Revelation was written by St. John to a Christian church that was suffering under the persecution of Nero and Domitian. Now, some say that the book was written in 90. In fact, most scholars today claim that the book is written in 90. However, there's other scholars who say it was written in the year 70. But we're not here to debate and to argue all of that, just that you know that this is said. The book is written by St. John, and it is written on the island of Patmos. Here on the set, you will see to my left a nice painting of St. John on the island of Patmos. At the time John wrote it, the island of Patmos was a penal colony. It was a prison, if you will. And apparently, St. John had been arrested for witnessing his Christian faith, standing up for Christ, and so he was arrested. And with a companion, he was taken to the island of Patmos, which is about a two-hour boat ride, the coastline, which is modern-day Turkey. In those days, it was Asia Minor. And so it was on the island of Patmos that he had a vision. And he heard the answer to the question that I gave a little while ago. He heard that his people should have courage because Jesus did care for them and was going to demonstrate that. Now, one of the things that's important when reading and studying Scripture is that it should be read, in this book, just like any other one, should be read at three levels. The first level is the audience to whom this text was written in the first place. In other words, St. John, when he sat down, he was writing primarily for his parishioners on the mainland. He was sorry for them, he had a pastor's heart for them, and so he was thinking about them, and Jesus was thinking about them, and the two of them together, Jesus creating in John this material for a pastoral letter to the people on the mainland, to the church. So the first audience of the book of Revelation is John's own parishioners and the church of that period. The second audience is you and me. In other words, we also are addressed by these words, and I shall try to show that as we go through. And thirdly, the book is about the end of time. Now, a lot of people read it as though that's all it's about, is the end of time. But it's not. It certainly the last two chapters are about the second coming of Christ and about the transformation of earth and heaven and all those beautiful things we read about in there. But it's not the only aspect of the book. So now, what are the three levels? First, the original audience of the early church. Secondly, you and me. And finally, the end of time, the church of the end of time. Therefore, I think with that in mind, we can move to how to read the apocalypse. That's just knowing the audience. But I think it's important to have several posts upon which we can build our foundation as we read this book. So what was St. John doing in the book of Revelation? And why is it sometimes so hard to read? Well, the first thing to understand about it is that he writes in an apocalyptic style. Now, the word apocalypse simply means revelation. It's the Greek word for reveal. You know, we go to our window and we open the blinds, and you have apocalypse. You have the revelation of what you see outside the window once the shade is raised. So, it's the same here. The difference, however, is this. Certainly, the whole Bible is revelation. But when we use the expression apocalypse, what we mean then is a special form of that revelation. It is a form of revelation designed for extraordinary times, times of crisis. So, for example, if I were writing during the Second World War, my language would be much more dramatic, more theatrical, more full of catastrophe, crisis, and disaster, because there's a lot of that going on. I remember years ago as a child listening to Edward R. Murrow and his radio broadcasts from London. You know, "Hello, America, this is London." And he sounded very serious, and of course he should be, because it was a serious situation. Well, that's what you do in apocalyptic talk, or catastrophe talk, crisis talk. And there is a crisis. This little church to which John is ministering is fearful. It feels threatened. It wonders. Now, we've had Jesus rising from the dead. We've had the Feast of Pentecost. We've had the apostles going out all over the world preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden we're getting news that Christians are being used as human torches in the Roman arena. Now that is, that's not a very comforting thought. And so St. John uses crisis language for a crisis experience. In the Bible then, apocalypse acquired a special technical meaning. It meant the end of a world, not necessarily the end of the world. And this last book of the Bible is not the only one to use apocalyptic talk. It was also used in the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel. You just read the first three chapters of the book of Ezekiel.